She frowned at him. "I've found a pot," she said. "Probably nothing," interrupted her father hastily. "You know the way it is. Everyone who goes to Greece for the first time thinks they've found a pot, don't they? Ha ha!" There were general nods. This was true. Irritating, but true. "I found it in the harbour," she said. "In the water. Well, we were waiting for the damn ferry." "Sarah, I've told you. It's just what you called it, and worse. You called it words I didn't think you knew." Anyway, I thought that if everyone here was meant to be so clever, then someone would be able to tell me if it was a proper ancient Greek thing or not. I think it's very old. Will you please let them see it, Daddy?" Her father shrugged hopelessly and started to fish about under his chair. "Did you know, young lady," said Watkin to her, "that the Book of Revelation was written on Patmos? It was indeed, by St. John the Divine, as you know. To me it shows very clear signs of having been written while waiting for a ferry. Oh, yes, I think so. It starts off, doesn't it, with that kind of dreaminess you get when you're killing time, getting bored, you know, just making things up, and then gradually grows to a sort of climax of hallucinatory despair. I find that very suggestive. Perhaps you should write a paper on it." He nodded at her. She looked at him as if he were mad. Well, here it is," said her father, plonking the thing down on the table. "Just a pot, as you see. She's only six," he added with a grim smile. "Aren't you, dear?" "Seven," said Sarah. The pot was quite small, about 5 inches high and 4 inches across at its widest point. The body was almost spherical, with a very narrow neck extending about an inch above the body. The neck and about half of the surface area were encrusted with hard-caked earth, but the parts of the pot that could be seen were of a rough, ruddy texture. Sarah took it and thrust it into the hands of the Don sitting on her right. "You look clever," she said. "Tell me what you think." The Don took it and turned it over with a slightly supercilious air. "I'm sure if you scraped away the mud from the bottom," he remarked wittedly, "it would probably say made in Birmingham." "Oh, that old," said Sarah's father with a forced laugh. "Long time since anything was made there." "Anyway," said the Don, "not my field. I'm a molecular biologist. Anyone else want to have a look?" This question was not greeted with wild yelps of enthusiasm, but nevertheless the pot was passed from hand to hand around the far end of the table in a desultory fashion. It was goggled at through pebble glasses, peered at through horn rims, gazed at over half moons, and squinted at by someone who had left his glasses in his other suit, which he very much feared had now gone to the cleaners. No one seemed to know how old it was or to care very much. The young girl's face began to grow downhearted again. "Sour lot," said Reg to Richard. He picked up a silver salt cellar again and held it up. "Young lady," he said, leaning forward to address her. "Oh, not again, you old fool," muttered the aged archaeologist Corley, sitting back and putting his hands over his ears. "Young lady," repeated Reg, "regard this simple silver salt cellar. Regard this simple hat." "You haven't got a hat," said the girl sulkily. "Oh," said Reg, "a moment, please," and he went and fetched his woolly red one. "Regard," he said again, "the simple silver salt cellar. Regard the simple woolly hat. I put the salt cellar in the hat thus, and I pass the hat to you. The next part of the trick, dear lady, is up to you." He handed the hat to her, past their two intervening neighbours, Corley and Watkin. She took the hat and looked inside it. "Where's it gone?" she asked, staring into the hat. "It's wherever you put it," said Reg. "Oh," said Sarah. "I see. Well, that wasn't very good." Reg shrugged. "A simple trick, but it gives me pleasure," he said, and turned back to Richard. "Now, what were we talking about?"